-3 is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
-3 with Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to -3, presented as ever by our pals over there at Omaha. You joined us at a juicy time. The Dubs are out. The Kings are alive. The Lakers are alive, and they're going to be playing the Nuggets. Should they be playing the Nuggets, or should they have lost on purpose? That's one of the things we have to talk about. The NHL playoffs are just about set. We'll get into those, but we'll probably save most of that conversation for Kevin Hench on our next episode this week of -3. That's right. We have 3 episodes. Hopefully you went back and listened already to the great episode we started the week with. Jeff Schwartz chopping up NFL draft talk in the QB league, all the rest of it. Really good times there. Check that one out. And with that being said, let's get into the second layer of NBA play-in games with our guy. Eddie Spaghetti, of course, is back in New York City, still riding high from his fancy pants rags, winning the President's Cup. Maybe he didn't get the news. Hockey's for nerds. We're on to different sports now, and that's why we're bringing in our guy to talk NBA today. Martin Weiss, what's the poop, fella? How are you?
What's the poop is it's pressing today. But no, the thing that it's been driving me crazy, this idea that the Lakers should have lost on purpose. Dude, this is professional sports. The whole point is to win. It's the whole point. It's the whole reason why we're playing.
I got to interrupt you real quick. Before you launch into some old man sort of rhetoric about like we play to win the game and all that kind of stuff, I get it at least, and so do you. You get that you want the easier matchup, of course. I am ultimately with you. I had the devil's Dameshek you right out of the gate before you launched into it, though. Go ahead now. Take it away. Because let me just say, because a lot of people were saying the Knickerbockers should have lost on purpose in their last regular season game so that they got the easier matchup. They decided not to do that. And by the way, let me just say a couple other things before you launch in, because this is it's all overlapping on the big Venn diagram right now. On Tuesday night, in a critical night for the bottom feeders trying to get into the eastern side of the playoff bracket in the NHL, it was a fascinating watch because the Philadelphia Flyers had to win, but they had to win in regulation on the ice. The Capitals only needed to win the game, period, to clinch that last playoff spot, the eighth slot there. The Flyers, with 5 minutes to go in a tie game, yanked the goalie. The Capitals scored into the empty goal and then got that last that wild card slot there. Very weird to watch at a critical moment, the most critical, obviously, by definition, to this point in the season, and the team's pulling their goalie. That sets up then a personal possible achievement for Austin Matthews, the great sniper for the Toronto Maple Leafs, of course. He's on the cusp of 70 goals, which is a iconic number in NHL terms. Should he be playing, going for it against the Lightning, or should he be saving himself and his body and not risking potential injury in favor of getting right for the playoffs when the Leafs as an organization clearly need to make some hay in springtime once and for all? And now that all leads us to the Knickerbockers and the Lakers and the Cavaliers tanking the other night and all of that. Now, Martin Weiss, after that lengthy setup, the floor is yours. How say you philosophically on losing on purpose?
Well, first of all, you just proved one thing to be true. You are the biggest nerd that we know. Since you started out with hockey is for nerds and then went off on a 5-minute soliloquy about the sport on the ice. But no.
If the Penguins were playing for that eighth spot tonight, I would not be singing that song. But listen, I'm just reacting to the news. Hockey is now officially for nerds now that the Penguins are done. I'm on to baseball. Anyway, Martin,
take it. You know else is for nerds? This spreadsheet basketball where you're losing on purpose to try to gain the matchup so somehow you can go from the Like, if you get out in the first round or you get out in the second round, ultimately, what is that? Six more games? Who gives a good, to borrow a phrase from you, who gives a good goddamn, right? Who cares about that? Like, if you are a top four seed in either conference, you should be thinking, how can we win a championship? If you are LeBron James and Anthony Davis, you should be thinking, how can we win a championship? Not how do we game our first round matchup to make sure we get to the second round, to then, who knows, maybe Kawhi will trip and fall and won't be able to play, and then the Mavericks and then Luka Doncic gets arrested, and then all of a sudden all these other things come into play and we get an easy path to the finals. No, the path to the finals is the path to the finals. That's just the way that it works. That's the way that it works. It's the way that it works. Okay, you win and you get in, and you continue to win to stay in. That's how you should, losing on purpose should never, ever, ever be beneficial for professional sports teams. The whole point of the game is winning and losing. That's why they keep score, Dave. You see, that's why they keep score.
Well, like, wait. I hear you. See, now you're getting into that rhetoric, which I mostly agree with. But Devil's Damashek has a couple of exceptions that prove the rule. One, do you think student athletes should be playing in the Blue Bonnet Bowl when they're going to be a first round draft pick in a couple of months? Of course they shouldn't. They should save themselves, not lay their bodies on the line for the glory of the program. That, right? I mean, so we agree with that. Well, one, right?
I was talking about professional sports.
Professional, okay.
But also, I think you have a strong argument. Depending on what the NIL money is, you might have to get out there, son.
You know? Oh, that's okay.
You have to get out there.
I mean, of course, you know, these singular moments, and I just told you about what happened in the domino effect of what the Flyers did to pull the goalie and not just cost themselves, but they were going for it. And, you know, I'm kind of in on that, that they weren't just going to let the hockey gods decide their fate for them. They were going to press the issue and yank the goalie, even though it increased their chances of losing the game straight up. And the domino effect and the teams that knocked off behind them. You know, I'm not opposed to tanking as an absolute. I think going 0-16, like Hugh Jackson, when the Browns decided, and by the way, the thing that gets in the way of that whole particular case is that Hugh Jackson tanked out so that they wound up with Myles Garrett. They could have wound up with Patrick Mahomes, but Hugh Jackson decided that Myles Garrett was the better player. So they did that. I, of course, benefited from the greatest tank job in sports history, which was the Penguins tanking in 1984 so that they could get Mario Lemieux. I don't think that was wrong. I think he was an all-time player or looked out. So that's an exception that proves the rule for tanking.
If you're at the bottom of the standings, you're trying to improve your draft stock for the next season, do I like it? Not necessarily, but I understand it. We're not talking about these teams. We're not talking about the dregs of the league. We're not talking about the Cleveland Browns prior to Myles Garrett and Baker Mayfield, or the Penguins prior to Sidney Crosby. We're talking about teams that have already qualified for the postseason.
You are correct. It's the same difference. It's the same dynamic of, like, I will frown on you from up on Mount Pius if you are headed to the Hall of Fame as a baseball player, and you juice because your ego's like, these guys are getting too much shine and I need to remind everybody who's boss. Okay, that's weird. If you're a borderline Major League Baseball player and by taking steroids you can set up your family for the next five generations by juicing up a little bit, then I'm all for it. Right. The context does matter here, and you're exactly right. If you're if you've been a bottom feeder for five or ten years, then tank out. Do what you have to do. This is a disgrace if you're the Cavaliers or anybody who's a Lakers fan saying, like, yeah, let's lose so that we don't have to get the defending champs. Where's your dignity? Right.
It's cornball type stuff. And it kind of reminds me of Jonte Porter, who just got banned from the NBA for gambling, because Jonte Porter was making like $700,000 a year playing in the NBA. He is the only so far test case in sports gambling where I was like, well, that makes sense. Like, if you were telling me he plays on the Raptors, if you were telling me that Pascal Siakam, who was on the Raptors earlier this year, who has signed a max contract in his career, was taking his unders, Bill, what are you doing? You're a millionaire four times over, 10 times over. You know, like, how could you, why would you ever do that? Now, if you're pulling in less than a mil, it's a different story. And I kind of get it. Like, that one makes a little bit more sense. I can make $1 million in a night compared to the $1 million I won't make out the course of the year. If you're already making $500,000 a night, what are you gambling for?
I feel like I'll go one step further. What is it? A Rorschach test? Or what you see in it? That's not the test I'm thinking of. It's not Pavlov's dog. Anyway, I don't know. The false premise test, which is, I would like to be the head coach or the general manager of a pro basketball team or a pro team and walk into the room and like what the Lakers were facing in NOLA on Tuesday night. I would say, you know what? I know it's a little embarrassing and there's no dignity in it, fellas, but raise your hand. Who thinks we should tank tonight because it'll provide a better matchup for us in the next week or two? And if anybody raises their hands, you say you're off the team forever. We can't have it. We can't imagine that. Do you think LeBron James would raise his hand for that? If he would, I would lose regard for him, right?
I don't know. You don't get to be that good at something without having competitive spirit. Like, you have to want to win. Like, that's the only way you can ever get to LeBron, but even the Gabe Vincents of the world. Like, you don't get to be the Gabe Vincents of the world in the NBA without having an intense desire to win. At least that's what I tell myself as I watch.
Isn't it gamesmanship though? Wouldn't that categorize as like he's doing the smart thing? That the Cavaliers, now getting to play the Orlando Magic, are in a better spot. We now, of course, must root against them, right? I mean, like, that's the moral.
No, I am rooting against what the Cavaliers did in Charlotte. Was reprehensible,
yes.
Disgusting, terrible to watch, and just what's wrong with today's participation trophies across the board. I hope the Magic beat them in four games. I hope it's a sweep, and I hope none of the games are particularly close. I have never been a bigger Orlando Magic fan than I am right now. In fact, of all the first round matchups, that is the one that I will watch every single minute of and root against the Cleveland Cavaliers, because they deserve it. They do not deserve it. They do not deserve to advance another round because of gaming the system the way that they tried to do.
Right. They're trying to game the system. And now let's see if the basketball gods wish to respond to this maneuver. Let me ask you a question, Eddie Spaghetti. Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? But before you answer, two words, Caesars Rewards. Those are the two words. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. I'm talking about hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, even more than just that. It's not only an app, it's an empire. 21 plus must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Eddie Spaghetti, you're a Knickerbockers fan, by the way. Gives me no pleasure, but I have to extend congratulations to the Rags. You were there. I was happy to see it. You got to be an MSG with your special lady and all that for a special night, the President's Cup. Now, here's another one, Martin Weiss. The Rangers, on purpose, won the President's Cup. Eddie Spaghetti will tell you that the new math says that it actually is good to win the President's Cup for a hockey team. It used to be, as recently as like a year or two ago, it's like, oh, it's a curse. It's like, if you win that thing, then be the number one team in the league by record at the end of the regular season. It was like a pox for the majority of this millennium, but Spaghetti has new math that says it's favorable. Either way, congratulations on that. And two, what about your Knickerbockers choice to play and play hard and play to win the game versus play for a more favorable matchup in round one of the playoffs?
Well, thank you for the congrats there. And since this is an NBA podcast, I will connect both the Rangers to the Knicks. I think it's a great move. I think I'm tired as a Rangers fan. I'm tired of hearing like, don't win the President's Cup, or hopefully this team wins or this team loses. I don't want to play the Penguins. I don't want to play this team. I don't want to play Tampa. Like, that's not really how it works. If you're going to be
stinking thinking, you're yeah. GD right, Spaghetti. That's right. Martin Weiss is right. That starts a culture of losing being favorable. Don't go down that rabbit hole.
And if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best, which is a tired phrase, but it's true. And that ties into the Knicks as well. I mean, the Knicks getting the 2 seed for that team, for the city, it means something. Getting 50 wins for this team, for the city, it means something. For the fans, definitely means something. And yeah, I understand that Joel Embiid is the reigning MVP. He's a phenomenal basketball player. But the fact of the matter is he's been banged up all year. And it's no sure thing that if they had to play, you know, the Pacers, who gives a lot of team fits, that could have been a problem. And the same goes through, you know, if the Heat went, whatever. I just feel like if it's, and I'm going to be in one of those two teams from the play-in game, like you're going to have to beat them. Doesn't matter what the history is or how many star players they have, because the Knicks have a star player in Jalen Brunson. And of course, like Julius Randle being healthy would have been a lot better, but I still think the depth is good. And I think Tom Thibodeau is a phenomenal coach, and yeah, he may, you know, grind players to their bone because of how much he plays them throughout the regular season. They're kind of the anti of this era of NBA basketball, where people are not, you know, doing load management. The Knicks don't really do that whatsoever, which could bite them really in the end. But this team like reminds me of those mid-90s Knicks teams, like those just like tough, grind you out, and like they were the identity of the city with those teams, with like, you know, Oak and Mace and Ewing and Starks. And I think there's a reason why this whole town is like really believing in them, a little bit different to those like Carmelo Anthony teams where they did win 54 games and they were very good. This has a different feel. This team actually has the potential to go pretty far. I'm not going to say win the Eastern Conference Final, even make it to the ECF, but I think they're going to be in the conversation. And I think it's the first step in a very long time for this Knicks team.
Well, let's get into it then, Martin. What do you think about, first of all, the not small matter, Embiid and company against Jimmy Butler at the time of this recording? The Sixers laying 5, total is 208. Can Jimmy Butler do it again, or are you taking Philly here?
I'm taking Philly here because, I mean, there is only so much dancing through the raindrops that Miami Heat can do before the rain hits that flame and extinguishes it. And I think this year, then you know what? We could look back in 3 weeks, and like this tape may age like old milk. But the Heat all season have not done anything to make me think that they're a top 8 team, or at least a top 6 team in the West, right? I mean, in the East. Wow. The top 6 team in the East. And even they had moments last year where it was up and down, right? This year, to me, has been more steady, just of average. And to me, they are much closer to the Hawks and the Bulls than they are to the 76ers, who realistically, like to Eddie's point, Joel Embiid's been knocked up, been banged up all season. if he was healthy, I think that they would probably be the two seed, right? I think Boston would have still ran. I mean, there was a bigger gap.
Boy, that's right.
The Boston Celtics and the two seed than there was in the entire playoffs for the Western Conference. Philadelphia probably should have been right there, about 6.5 games back out of first place all season long, had Embiid been healthy.
And isn't it, you know, again, you say 3 weeks from now, we might look back and look like, but this really does, you know, it's not, if I were a Celtics fan, there is cautious optimism that, you know, with Giannis in the state he is, it doesn't sound like he's going to be available to even start the series. Julius Randle down, a lot of people, including you and Kevin Hench, were circling the Knickerbockers as the team that might be able to actually take four off of Boston on the eastern side of things. I mean, the path is pretty clear for the Celts. I mean, is this as prohibitive a favorite?
It should be like it was last year with Denver. Denver last year, I've lost two playoff games on the way to the finals.
Right.
Three total because they lost one in the finals. If the Celtics continue on and everything goes chalk, it should be a run like that where they are losing less than five playoff games in total. But the thing that like gives me pause with the Celtics is they don't get to the free throw line and they have no shot diversity outside of three-pointers and layups. And I know that in a perfect world, every shot that you take would be a three-pointer or a layup, according to the nerds that have taken over the sport that I love, right? But nothing is perfect in the playoffs. Things go wrong in the playoffs. And when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, you're going to need a guy who can pull up from the free throw line because he can't get all the way to the rim. And the three-pointers aren't falling. Somebody's got to make something happen. And I don't know if Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are equipped the way they play all year to get to the free throw line extended area and hit mid-range jump shots. You look at every great scorer in the NBA, and really in the last, you know, just take the last 10 years of the NBA. Every truly dominant scorer, even Steph Curry's got a floater. Everybody has something that they can do if you cut them off before they get to the rim. LeBron and his turnaround fadeaway, right? Kevin Durant's free throw line extended for the last 10 years has been money. Devin Booker the same. Three-pointers are great, and you should shoot a lot of them, right? But you have to have some shot diversity. You got to be able to pump fake, take two dribbles, and then boom, right there floater from the free throw line, because it puts just that added pressure on the defense. And when you're in the playoffs, to me, the way you have to look at this is the more bucket getters that you have on a team, the better, right? Because you're not going to be able to just run your sets. You're not going to be able to just screen and roll into oblivion because you're playing the same team at minimum four times. You have to beat them four times to get through to the next round, unless you're talking about the play-in, in which anything can happen, just as the Golden State Warriors last night. But if you got to beat a team four times, you can't just do the same thing you did in game one, because they'll be hit to it, Dave. They're all professionals.
By the way, you mentioned that you mentioned what happened on Tuesday night, and okay, that was a compelling matchup. Kings feel like they're on the rise. Things got sideways injury-wise with Monk and all that. But I do like the Kings next 3 to 5 years. Golden State, I don't like it as much. But okay, an iconic team and all that. I mean, the East 9-10 matchup is a statement about going too far with how many playoff teams you got. I mean, what are we talking about? The combined 20 games under 500 or whatever these two teams are, just send them both out into the field. Let's just cut to the chase with that. What I love about the Kings is that now they go to NOLA, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Pelicans mascot was that King Baby Cake, right? Or King Cake Baby or whatever his name was.
King Cake Baby.
Who's he rooting for? Kings are coming into his house and he's a baby king. So doesn't he have to root for Sacramento?
Do you know the story behind the King Cake Baby? Do you know how that works?
No, the less I know, I think the better, probably, because it's bizarre and kind of creepy when you just see it.
It absolutely is bizarre, kind of creepy. But every year during Mardi Gras season, you can buy what is called a King Cake, right? And it's kind of like a pastry with icing on it, green, gold, and yellow on it. I mean, green, gold, and purple on it, the colors of Mardi Gras, and you have a king cake. And so, like, let's say, hypothetically speaking, I lived off a parade route. I'd say, hey, Dave, hey, Spaghetti, why don't you come on down to my house? We'll watch the parade because I live two blocks away. I would then buy a king cake. So then you cut up the king cake. Everybody would eat it. You could eat it any time of the day or night, as long as it's during Mardi Gras season. I've had king cake for breakfast many times in my day. So as you cut the pieces, right, there's a baby inside the cake. And the person who gets the baby, I know it's odd, but the person who gets the baby, and I would hide the baby in there somewhere, you know, lift up the cake, put it, stick it in the bottom of the pastry, cut it up. And as you say, Dave, you got the baby. Now you have to buy the next king cake for the next time that we have a Mardi Gras party.
The irony that this is all going on in Louisiana, where the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, is, or actually maybe it informs why he is the way he is. Anyhow, okay, last couple things here for you, Martin, and last couple things for us, as a matter of fact. We wanted to get you in advance of these NBA playoffs. Lakers now with the Nugs minus 380, prohibitive favorites, in other words. Although, I'll defer to you on this. I have heard repeatedly, you and Mark Gunnels on Lemon Pepper Parlay have been singing a song. I have been bitten by the Mavericks one too many times to support them. I am waiting for the big breakthrough. But like I say, one too many spring times I've invested in them, so I'm off of that. But you say the Mavs have the best shot out of all the West to knock off the Nugs. Am I hearing you right?
I think it, especially with Jamal Murray's injury, is anything that's more significant. I would probably peg the Mavericks as a team with the best shot to go to the Western Conference Finals outside of Denver. And I mean, the odds reflected as such, but like, I think right. Kawhi's knee is going to be, we'll hear shortly that it's a bigger issue than it actually is. The Thunder are interesting, but the Thunder don't have any big bodies, right? They have Chet Holmgren, who is slim tall instead of big tall, right? You know what I'm saying? He needs a little, you know, look, few more sandwiches or some more bricks.
What
in
a
his
pro
back
wants,
pocket.
What a pro needs.
Oh my goodness. That commercial had this household asking at the end of it. She said, why do they keep showing this guy? What is this terrible commercial?
Can I tell you my hypothesis about why that commercial has been received so poorly? Twofold. One, what's Chester doing walking around in the head-to-toe leather? Come on. And it doesn't look like he's worn it very much, but he did buy it. And that leather suit is wearing him, not the other way around. One. Sure. And two, it's the thing he does with his hand. Right. It's like he and Chet, they can do their song back and forth. But it's when Chet goes like, that's when people are like, what the hell are you doing, Chester? Come on. Right.
I mean, the singing voices don't help because it's hard it's really hard to ignore when you're just sitting there. And, you know, you're watching a game. You try your best to ignore the commercials and go about your life in those 4-minute to 5-minute periods of respite that you get from being locked into the actual action, what we're all here for. And then that commercial, very like the Whopper jingle when it first came out. Once you hear it, you can't stop listening. And now 30 seconds of your break from what's actually going on, the intensity of the matchup that you're watching, 30 seconds has now been stolen from you, Dave. See, that's another part of the problem.
Well, we are talking about this big scandal. No one is talking about the big scandal of the erasure of the original Jardy and Song Lady. She's on the bus. It's a big Hollywood production. Like, I take one's daily Jardians at each day's start. And she does the big dance number. The original lady, she's gone from the planet Earth, as far as we know. They've replaced her. It's now an office scene. And no one's batting an eye about it, but Damashek's here as a man of justice. And now a quick break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Listen, Martin, Dynamite stuff. Before you go, the one last thing we were talking, Nola and all of that. Our ongoing little project here is we've gotten Chris Long, Jeff Schwartz, Spaghetti's weighed in. The audience is weighing in with their keen ideas. Now it's your turn, Martin Weiss. You can bring back one player from New Orleans Saints history in his prime and plug him onto the 2024 roster. Who is it?
Drew Brees.
So cheap. Come on. Spaghetti and I have already agreed. It's novice stuff to take a QB. Okay, I'll take the answer.
Well, when your offense feels like it's legitimately a quarterback away.
Okay.
And then you signed a quarterback a year ago for 3 years, $100 million. And now all of a sudden you're that much worse against the salary cap. When you probably, if you can give me Drew Brees on Derek Carr's contract, I feel like the Saints might win a playoff game. You know, even with Dennis Allen being the head coach,
I'm sure I could find some offensive lineman that would appeal to some people. I think the correct answer, I'm just thinking about this off the top of my head, Wes Chandler went on to stardom with the Chargers on a bum Saints team with Archie Manning. But Wes Chandler was one of the great wide receivers before you two walked to planet Earth, you and Eddie Spaghetti. That's the correct answer. A burner for all of time and a great productive wide
receiver. They already got Raheed Shaheed, who's fast as can be. And Chris Olave is no fun. Look, Chris Olave is so fast that Derek Carr's throwing the ball out of bounds.
I'm going to tell Wes Chandler you just compared Raheed Shaheed to him.
I bet you Raheed Shaheed tests faster than Wes Chandler did.
Well, not in football. All right, listen. Gangbusters time. Thank you for making the time for us, Martin Weiss. I'm sure you liked what you just heard. Great news. You can listen to him on the aforementioned Lemon Pepper Parlay. You can catch him on Fox Sports with Rob Parker and Chris Broussard. I like making appearances on that show, and I like making appearances on Martin Weiss's weekend show, also on Fox Sports. Big times coming up for Martin Weiss. I'll let him tell you about that in the upcoming days. In the meantime, great thanks. Enjoy these NBA playoffs and make some time for the NHL playoffs too. Watch them for me too, because I'm out. I'm watching baseball. That's it. Till September. It's me and
April baseball
and that's
instead
it.
Of playoff hockey, huh? Okay.
To hell with all of it. Thank you, Martin.
You're welcome, pal.
There he goes. Eddie Spaghetti, let's get out of here, all right? He's already gone. And that's fine, because I'm out the door too, just like I am on hockey. Take that, hockey. You leave Sydney. You left the best player of the millennium out. What are you doing, Bettman? I told you to rig the thing, and now you get the Washington Capitals and the New York Islanders. Good luck getting an audience with that. Fat. We'll be back tomorrow with Kevin Hench with a brand new episode of Minus Three. Until then, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.